Good morning and welcome to Back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Alan Shoes. And the program is being paid for by Davidson Advertising and Alan Shoes. This is show number 49, and today is Saturday, April 10th. Wow, 2021.
And hello, my name's Alan McCloskey. My wife Annette and I own and operate Alan Shoes in Tucson. Rob, let's get right into it. We've got plenty of stories about in our COVID / pandemic news segment. And so you have something about some of the COVID-19 people who were infected are going through. Why don't you start with that?
Yeah, Alan, we do have these things. This is to tell people how dangerous this can be. As many as 1 in 3 people infected with the COVID-19 have longer-term mental health or neurological symptoms, according to researchers. They found 34% of COVID-19 survivors received a diagnosis for a neurological or psychological condition within 6 months of their infection. The most common diagnosis was anxiety, found in 17% of those treated for COVID-19, followed by mood disorders, found in 14% of the patients. And while the neurological effects are more severe in hospitalized patients, they are still common in those who were only treated in an outpatient setting. The rate increased progressively as the severity of the COVID-19 illness increased. If we look at patients who were hospitalized, that rate increased to 39%, said Maxine Taquet, an academic clinical fellow in psychiatry at the University of Oxford. The results helped light the way for how the healthcare system should continue helping COVID-19 survivors. So, Alan, this thing's going to continue for a while. People have to be careful.
You know, there's been so many people that have falsely reported, oh, this is just like the flu. What's the big deal? It only hits people, they say, that are older. Well, you and I have said for a long time, younger people are also being affected. It's not just the elderly. And just getting the virus is just not a good thing. And so if you are not wearing a mask, if you are anti-mask right now, if you're thinking this is just no big deal, you are wrong. And we are here to tell you that. You need to be very, very careful of not only yourself, but your family members and anyone that you work with and come into contact with. So keep on wearing those masks for a while. That's what I feel, Rob. What about you?
Absolutely, Alan. And, you know, our state has cut back on a lot of the mask mandates. We're going to talk about a bill that our legislature signed or passed the other day, and Governor Ducey signed it. We'll talk about that a little later in the program about masks and businesses. So, folks, you got to take care of yourself. I wouldn't rely on the government's expertise to lead me.
Here's another thing that we put in our pandemic segment because it has to do with how businesses are doing right now. And it's a jobs report reported by Jeff Cox at CNBC.com. And it says jobs report blows past expectations as payrolls boom by $916,000 in the month of March. Non-farm payrolls rose by 916,000 in March, while the unemployment rate declined to 6%, according to this story. The job growth is well ahead of Dow Jones estimates for 675,000 and the fastest since August of 2020. That's a lot of jobs in 1 month. Gains were strongest in leisure and hospitality, while construction soared by 110,000. And Rob, you and I know that construction, it's hard to get things constructed right now. There's a big delay between supplies and labor. And we also know that our hospitality industry definitely needs a recovery, and we are seeing some of that recovery. Last week, we read a story about the airline recovery a little bit, and it also came in the story. It says revisions also added 156,000 jobs to the totals for January and February, so they redid those numbers too. So job growth boomed in March at the fastest pace since last summer, as stronger economic growth and an aggressive vaccination effort contributed to a surge in hospitality and construction jobs. And it went on to give more details, but that's an important story, Rob. We're going to move on to the next thing. You have something that's in Arizona here that is affecting the COVID recovery of some of our workers, don't you?
Well, Eloy detention site threatened migrants' health, used pepper spray during COVID mask protests. Privately run ICE immigration detention site in Eloy threatened the health, safety, and rights of migrants, said a federal watchdog. They found violation of standards, including an incident in which peacefully protesting detainees were pepper sprayed. The findings came after an unannounced inspection of the La Palma Correctional Center north of Tucson. In a 32-page report, the Department of Homeland Security of the Inspector General outlined allegations from detainees that officers at La Palma used excessive force and some verbally abused immigrants. The agency said the widespread COVID-19 outbreak at the facility had occurred and that the facility's medical unit was critically understaffed. So these are other issues. But, you know, Alan, I wanted to get back to that jobs report. One of the interesting things that I come upon with my clients is almost every one of my clients, they're in a real bad way as far as finding good help. I mean, they cannot find help, especially in the home improvement businesses. Some of them are just, they're doing anything they can to find employees. So there's lots of good jobs out there, folks, if you want them. The only thing is, you got to want them. I don't know if you found that in your stores, Alan, as far as finding good help, but it's impossible right now.
You know, we ran an ad recently. We had quite a bit of a problem, and here's what goes on to an employer right now. You have a bunch of response to your ad, whatever ad you put up, but you go through them and you see that you have a lot of people that are job hoppers, and okay, so you try to find the gem. And so you, what you do is you try to interview more people and ask them to come into your facility and have a face-to-face interview. You're going to find that a lot of them never show up for their predestined interview. And I don't know if it's because they really don't want to work or because they really don't want to go off of unemployment. And some people are losing that unemployment right now. And I don't know what the reasons are. And this is what people are complaining about is, as a business owner, that finding the staff and getting them to show up to the interview and getting them to show up for the job and getting it, and finding that they're engaged or that they have a stable work history, that's pretty difficult right now. And so we did that, but then we did call through. We found somebody recently that was the gem out of the pack, and his reasons for unemployment were different than others. And so I encourage people to keep trying, keep looking, and adjust your words in the ads that you're posting. But let's move on with some of our stories here. And we have another story here, Rob, about North Korea. Now, this is a case of fake news here, but the latest is North Korea says it has no coronavirus cases. And you know, that's an unbelievable statement I think we'll agree with because every other country has been infected here. North Korea continues to claim a perfect record in keeping out the coronavirus in its latest report to the World Health Organization. In an email to the Associated Press on Wednesday, the WHO says, which is the World Health Organization, North Korea has reported that it's tested 23,121 people for the coronavirus as of April 1 and that all results were negative. Outsiders have expressed doubt about whether North Korea escaped the pandemic entirely, given its poor health infrastructure and a porous border it shares with China, its economic lifeline. During the pandemic, North Korea has severely limited cross-border traffic, banned tourists, jetted out diplomats, and mobilized health workers for quarantines of tens of thousands of people who showed symptoms. North Korea this week became the first country to drop out of the Tokyo Olympics because of coronavirus fears. Well, it's kind of unbelievable, even though they do have some protection methods and some awareness of the virus, that they really have no cases, Rod, don't you think?
Yeah, Alan, but they also came out with a story this week from North Korea that the Korean leader said that they're in the worst shape they've ever been in economically, so he's coming up with some programs to pull them out of this bad economic situation that he blames us for a lot of it. But it's kind of hard to believe that they didn't have any COVID-19. It's kind of hard to, in a place like that, to get the truth, don't you say?
I think so. Let's get back to that story that you tease people about. It has to do with mask mandates in Arizona. Why don't you read that story, Rob?
Well, there's a couple of them, Alan, and the first one is about Governor Doug Ducey's recent executive order barring cities, counties, and towns from requiring face masks. It likely doesn't preempt local governments from issuing their own mandates, but he could probably still prohibit them through Arizona Department of Health Services rulemaking process. The opinion came at the request of three Republican lawmakers who asked the Attorney General's office to weigh in on Pima County's resolution that mandates face coverings in certain public spaces after the county issued a bulletin stating the resolution was still in effect. The governor still has authority to preempt cities, counties, and towns on their ability to create and enforce mandates. However, the way to do so is through the Arizona Department of Health Services. In March, Ducey issued an emergency declaration in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Under a state of emergency, ADHS has the authority to enact emergency measures and create rules for the entire state. So it doesn't look like the health department statewide is going to do anything at this point, Alan, so the mask mandate in Pima County is going to stay intact for the time being.
I think that it's important that it does. Our county, you know, we're almost close to the same vaccine rate as the rest of the state. However, you know, we don't know how many uncounted people in the population, you know, are in our county, and we therefore don't know whether there's more how many people exactly haven't been vaccinated. And we also know that there were slow processes and there was a delay in approving all our vaccine sites. And we also know that other states are exhibiting a high COVID rate right now. And we've had our surges and we don't want to follow in there. So removing masks in businesses is just not good form, in my opinion, right now, Rob. And I've been looking up our COVID rate in Arizona, and you know, we're not showing the uptick yet that we need to get to. We're at the bottom of that cycle, but we might still have yet another hit because these other variants are very dangerous, and they're proving to be the main culprit recently, if you've been keeping up with the news.
Yes, and these things can take off very, very quickly if we're not careful. So I agree with you, Alan. We need to at least be still, people have to be careful. I don't care who you are. You got to be careful.
I agree. You're listening to Back to Business with Robin Allen on KVOI, 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Rob and I prefer to think of ourselves as the moderate broadcasting team. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising at 629-9555. If you know of a long-term Tucson business that should be highlighted by us on our show, please call Rob. Please come back after our commercial break.
Welcome back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Alan Shoes.
And I'm Alan McCloskey, owner of Alan Shoes. And now we have our political notebook segment that we've been doing on our show, usually in segment four. We moved into this segment two because we don't have a guest today, but we've got plenty to talk about. And the first story Rob is going to read has to do with a person that keeps coming up into the news.
Anti-government activist Ammon Bundy was arrested again Thursday on a misdemeanor charge of trespassing at the Idaho Statehouse. It's the fourth time the man known for leading a 2016 armed standoff at an Oregon wildlife refuge has been arrested in Boise since August, and his third arrest to occur at the state capitol. The first arrest at the Statehouse followed a protest last August when more than 100 protesters shouted down and forced from a hearing room lawmakers considering a bill to shield businesses and government agencies from coronavirus-related liability. Bundy was arrested for trespassing when he wouldn't leave the room and banned from the building for a year. He was arrested again the next day when he returned despite the ban. Bundy is representing himself in that case. He has pleaded not guilty to the charges, telling the court he doesn't believe his actions were illegal. Last month, Bundy was arrested on a bench warrant for failing to appear in court because he wouldn't don a mask in order to enter the Ada County Courthouse as required by the court rules. Last weekend, Bundy and several of his followers staged protests at the county courthouse and outside the judge's house, decrying the case against him. So he's going to be in the news for a while, Alan, and this guy keeps pushing the buttons.
You know, we know that there's a lot of people that are just feel they're right in any situation. You just can't change their mind. And we have to be aware that there's just lots of different opinions out there about what people think their rights are and what they're not. But, you know, we have to start to work as a cohesive group of people that can find some compromise, I think, Rob. And that's part of the problem here.
Yeah, we've been saying that forever, Alan. This is a society, and for it to work well, you have to work together. Right now, that's not going on.
No, it certainly isn't. This story is not related to the first story, but it's still part of our political notebook. It's from the ArizonaMirror.com. It says, Ducey says business opposition won't influence decision on election bills. Governor Doug Ducey said business community opposition to a pair of election bills that critics allege will suppress voters won't affect his decision on whether to sign the legislation if it reaches his desk. Greater Phoenix Leadership, a business and civic organization, issued a statement last week urging lawmakers to reject legislation that it says is voter suppression. The proposed bills would purge inactive voters from the state's permanent early voting list, and they require voters to include driver's license numbers or other proof of identification with their early ballots. The statement, signed by 40 business leaders, most of whom are on GPL's, that again is Greater Phoenix Leadership's board, came on the same day that Major League Baseball announced that it would pull its All-Star game from Georgia in response to a new law that restricts access to voting in some cases. I'm going to sign good policy, Ducey told reporters during a press conference at the Executive Tower. I'm going to move on to you, Rob, while I fix my communications.
Okay, Alan. Well, a business group is pressuring the Arizona GOP. Prominent business leaders are asking lawmakers to reject several election-related bills that they deemed attempts to suppress voting in Arizona, a move that comes as Georgia faces calls for boycotts for passing similar legislation. The business group Greater Phoenix Leadership issued a statement, which it also sent to members of the legislature, opposing legislation that would purge inactive voters from the state's permanent early voting list, require voters to add proof of ID to their early ballots, and limit the early voting period before elections. The statement came in the form of an op-ed by GPL board members Adam Goodman and Sharon Harper, who co-chair the group's public policy committee. It ran at the Arizona Capital Times in early March. The new statement includes the signatures of 40 business leaders, mostly GPL board members. Among the signatories are Arizona Cardinals owner Michael Bidwell, the heads of several major healthcare companies, and the CEOs of other prominent Arizona businesses. Arizona's election system is safe, secure, and convenient, the statement read. And despite that, lawmakers are attempting to make changes that would upend the system and suppress Arizonans' votes. These measures seek to disenfranchise voters. They are solutions in search of a problem. There are attempts at voter suppression cloaked as reform, plain and simple, according to the statement. And Alan, we might remember several years ago, the state of Arizona lost the Super Bowl because we didn't enact the Martin Luther King Day. This goes back many, many years. And it would not surprise me if we didn't lose the Super Bowl coming up and perhaps the NCAA Final Four that is scheduled for Phoenix and the NCAA Women's Final Four, which is scheduled for Phoenix. So I sure hope our legislators are careful here, because these big organizations are not afraid to pull these events in this case, and we'll just have to see what happens. You know, years ago it was a case that many business people didn't want to get involved in politics because they were afraid that they would, you know, alienate half of their customers, perhaps. Well, it's a different story now. Businesses are getting involved because they have to. Because it's just the way it is now, and you have to take a chance that you need to have your word out there. You need to tell people how you feel and how these things are affecting you, and that's just the bottom line right now.
I applaud all these corporations that are making statements on this. I think they really are acting in the public's best interest, Rob. I hope my communications are better now.
Much better, Alan.
I adjusted it. People should know that I've been calling in from home, as Rob and I decided to socially distance even from each other. And so we're both not in the studio over several weeks, and I apologize for my miscommunication and static earlier. But we're going to read this story. Despite lots of questions, sports betting bill advances in Arizona Senate. A sports betting bill that would allow pro teams to run sports books in Arizona, as well as open the door to expanded tribal casinos in Metro Phoenix, advanced Wednesday night through the state Senate. The bill would allow the state to issue 10 sportsbook licenses to professional sports team in the state, something that the state's tribes with casinos have historically opposed. But in exchange for their support on the bill, Governor Doug Ducey has negotiated amendments to the state gaming compacts, which would allow the tribes to offer not only new table games at casinos, but to open an unspecified number of new casinos, including in Metro Phoenix. The companion bill passed a state House of Representatives committee last week by a 9-1 vote, but the Senate committee on Wednesday was divided 6-3 on its passage. Arizona lawmakers reacted to the bill through a number of questions, including what exactly Ducey had negotiated in exchange for support from several tribes. During Wednesday's testimony, a lawyer for Ducey said that just 9 of the 90 state lawmakers have been given the details of what the governor has agreed to in the amended tribal gaming contract. And so without reading the rest of the story, I think we have a sense that that we could have some more sports betting going on, and it was a deal with the Indian tribes who run casinos. And I mean, I personally think we have enough casinos, but maybe there's some unmet demand that I'm not aware of. But that's interesting, and it should help the state with its budget, don't you think, Rob?
Absolutely, Alan. That's where the state needs, you know, they need to come up with cash, and these kinds of things are going to add cash. Sports betting, look at the recreational marijuana is adding a lot of cash to the state coffers. Who in their right mind ever would have thought in the state of Arizona that marijuana would be totally legal? In my lifetime, I never thought that that would happen. And I think this sports betting thing is the same thing. And the states all over the country are going to find these things are going to be necessary to get the taxes that they need, because you can't keep taxing people more with their property taxes and income taxes. But these so-called vice taxes only affect the people that use them, similar to alcohol and tobacco sales. So that's the way it's going, and it'll be interesting. It's going to be wide open here pretty soon. We won't have to go to Vegas anymore, Alan.
Well, you know, I get all these offers in the mail to go to Vegas, and they're really great deals. Every time I get one, I'm thinking, like, why aren't I there? And then I think realistically, like, it's just not for me.
Yeah, not right now.
Not quite as safe, but I have some friends that went there, and they came back. You know, I haven't heard from them in a while. I hope they're okay.
Anyhow,
it's we don't we listen. It's just not the same. Vegas and
it's not like it used to be.
No, but I still enjoy going to Vegas. We go there for trade shows each year, and a lot of businesses do. And I'm just glad that the Ducey saw it the way it needs to. We got to go for a break with our news right now. Catch us on the internet at b2btucson.com. That's b2btucson.com. You're listening to Back to Business with Rob and Alan. Please join us after our news and our commercial breaks.
Welcome back to Back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, Water Tech, Arizona Pest Control, and Alan Shoes.
And I'm Alan McCloskey. My wife Annette and I own and operate Alan Shoes in Tucson. In this segment, we have a story that Rob wanted to insert here that he found on the internet. Why don't you start with that, Rob?
Well, Alan, we teased this one a little earlier. Governor Ducey signed a bill to let businesses ignore mask mandates, but the law won't take effect for months. Businesses can require customers to wear masks to prevent spreading COVID-19 if they like, but they can also allow people to go maskless even if a city, county, or the state tries to require face coverings. That will be the law of the land in Arizona, thanks to a bill Governor Doug Ducey signed yesterday, which echoes a recent executive order from his office. I'm signing this bill ensuring that our small businesses will no longer be required to enforce mandates imposed on them by their cities who are choosing not to enforce it themselves, said Ducey. But there are some twists to the bill. For one, it doesn't become effective until the general effective date for all legislation this year, which is 90 days after the legislative session ends, and the session is ongoing. So it's going to be a while, Alan, but this is going to be the law of the land in about 90 days, so businesses will be able to do what they want to do, regardless of what the county or the city says. And how is this going to affect your business?
Well, we're going to keep masks mandated in our stores until we feel a couple of things happen. Number one, that our employees have had a chance to get both their COVID doses, and a couple of weeks past that, and that we feel a sufficient percentage of the community has been vaccinated as well, so that our employees don't get vaccinated from some customer coming in and inadvertently passing on the virus. And then we thought we would review it again and see how other businesses are doing it in the, you know, two of our stores are in the county, two of them are in the city, and we think they should be the same plan for both of them, Rob, and that's how we're going to handle it.
I think that makes a lot of sense, Alan, and I'm sure a lot of our responsible business owners will be doing something similar.
Yeah, I would hope so, because we just can't afford another surge. I should tell people that now we're moving on to our good news segment, and this is a segment that was suggested by my daughter Karen, and we've been including it in the last several shows. And sometimes last week we couldn't get to all of our good news stories, and we have this story that Rob's going to read because he and I both have dogs, and why don't you read that one?
Well, shoplifting and petty theft are no laughing matter, except when the culprit is a cute canine kleptomaniac determined to liberate a certain stuffed purple unicorn from the confines of a North Carolina Dollar General store. According to the store staff, the dogged doggo was a repeat offender, making five separate attempts to be reunited with his favorite Cuddly Cuddy. The store called and said they had a stray dog in the parking lot that kept coming into the store, said Joe Newburn, head of the County Animal Services Department. He'd walk in, go to that unicorn, and try to get it. He did it four or five times before they locked the door and called us to come get him. Maybe he had a stuffed animal like that in his original home, I don't know, but he wanted that purple unicorn bad. The persistent puppetrator was eventually collared, but rather than the hoosegow, he found himself at a local animal shelter where he was booked in as a stray and given the name Sisu, a nod to character of Disney's Raya and the Last Dragon. While Dollar General might have been hard-pressed to sell a plushie covered in doggy drool, Samantha Lane, the animal control officer tasked with escorting Sisu to the shelter, decided it was in everyone's best interest to keep the pair together, so she purchased the $10 toy and took it along. He kept going to that one particular unicorn. He likes to sleep on it, lay on it. He just loves his unicorn. Long after his arrival in the shelter, posted pictures of Sisu and a report of his exploits to their Facebook page, saying, "That is what happens when you break into the Dollar General consistently to steal the purple unicorn, but then get animal control called to lock you up for your B&E larceny." Almost immediately, they were inundated with praise for the thoughtful animal control officer, as well as interest from potential adopters.
Well, I thought that was a good story to include as part of our good news. We have another one here that is good news, but it started off as bad news. Coin firm pays it forward after Georgia man paid in pennies. A global company has stepped in to solve quite a conundrum for a Georgia man. Andreas Flatten's former employer dumped at least 90,000 pennies on his driveway last month as a form of final payment for his work at an auto shop, he said. When Bellevue, Washington-based Coinstar heard about the predicament, they decided that change was needed. They picked up Flatten's coins on Thursday and rounded up the amount to give him a $1,000 check. They also made donations to two charities in Flatten's choosing, two animal shelters. Coinstar has been in the coin business for 30 years, and we process approximately 41 billion coins annually. So picking up 91,000 pennies was all in a day's work, CoStar CEO Jim Gattery said in a statement. Flatten said his former employer, AOK Walker Auto Parts, or Auto Works in Peachtree City, owed him $915 after he left his job there in November. He finally got his pay earlier this month in the form of thousands of oil or grease-covered pennies dumped at the end of his driveway in Fayetteville, Georgia. Atop the pile, an envelope with Flatten's final pay stub and a goodbye note that featured an obscenity. So Flatten has been spending an hour or two every night trying to clean up his pennies, which he stored in a wheelbarrow in his garage. The owner of the shop, Miles Walker, told the TV station nearby that he didn't know if he did or didn't drop the pennies off at Flatten's house. "I don't really remember," Walker says. "It doesn't matter. He got paid, and that's all that matters." So it was an angry boss, a bad situation, and a company came to the rescue that's in the business of counting pennies. Because if you know this, Rob, when you try to cash in those pennies, there's an it's either you go through a bunch of effort or you pay a fee to have them turned into dollars. It's just not as convenient as it used to be. So that was a good news story, don't you think,
Rob? Yeah, it was very nice, and very bad form from the auto repair company for doing that.
You would think that there would be some sort of violation, but they can pay him in any legal currency according to most laws, and that is just ridiculous what happened. So it ended up being a good story to a originally bad story. Anyhow, we're going to break a little early for this segment, if you don't mind, Rob, as we've got a lot in segment four to go on to, unless you had anything else to add before we break.
No, let's move on so we can get to the stories in the four.
catch us on the internet at b2btucson.com. That's b-t-o-b-tucson.com. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob Davidson at Davidson Advertising at 629-9555. You're listening to Back to Business with Rob and Alan on KVOI, 1030 a.m. The Voice. We're here every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And we invite you to please come back after our break for commercials for segment four.
Welcome back to Back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Alcorn Auto Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Alan Shoes.
And I'm Alan McLaughlin. Our wife Annette and I are owners and operator of Alan Shoes. And in this segment, we have some miscellaneous stories that just came to mind. And Alan,
I've got one that just popped up that we really need to talk about. I think you're going to get a kick out of this one because it's so funny.
Go ahead.
You know, our friend Mike Lindell, the owner of the MyPillow guy. Well, MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell said yesterday he's hired a private investigator to find out why Fox News isn't letting him go on the network as a guest to talk about his baseless claims of election fraud. Dominion Voting Systems sued Fox News and Lindell for defamation last month, seeking $1.6 billion and $1.3 billion respectively. The conservative news network is also facing a $2.7 billion lawsuit by Smartmatic, allegedly spreading election information earlier this year. Lindell, who has continued to push voter fraud conspiracy theories about the 2020 election, appeared on Steve Bannon's War Room Pandemic podcast to talk about the lawsuit and Fox. The CEO said that he believes that Fox News and their reluctance to speak about the election fraud seems suspicious to him. In a video of the interview posted on social media, Bannon says to Lindell, "I don't remember seeing you on Fox recently. Why are the Murdochs afraid of Dominion? Why is Mike Lindell not on Fox? And why do they seem to say, hey, when Dominion says something, we're just going to shut up about it and talk about Biden's tax bill?" So anyway, Mr. Lindell is still out there, Alan, beating the drum.
I don't know how he has so much money he can waste. I mean, it's no mystery to anyone except him why Fox has pulled back. Huh. They don't want to get hurt even more financially.
Absolutely.
As a result of repeat. You know, when you're put on notice that you're doing something wrong, that's probably after the time that you should have stopped doing what you're doing wrong. And they are just protecting them from having an even bigger settlement that's necessary. Huh. So it's no big surprise here. And, you know, I think Mike Lindell, when he's one of those individuals, when he gets something in his mind, he holds on to it regardless of any evidence to the contrary. I mean, he's a whack job.
Well, and he's willing to put his business in jeopardy over all this, which says something also. So I kind of agree, but just kind of amazing where you see this. Like I said earlier, you know, a lot of business people don't want to get involved with politics because they don't want to alienate their customers, but doesn't seem to matter to Mr. Lindell.
Now, let's move on.
Yes.
We have a story here. Women of the Pandemic, a swing toward female leadership in Arizona politics. This is part of a series that I found at Tucson.com that's been written about women of the pandemic. This was written on March 13th, so it's almost a month old, but I felt it deserved some additional advertising from us about it, because there's some women that are political leaders in the state, and I think they should be commended. Arizona's female political leaders agree that the path to the positions they now hold has not been easy. They acknowledge that chauvinism still persists and that they face generational barriers and gender discrimination, but know their goals will be achieved with hard work, sacrifice, and dedication. They hold some of the most important political positions in the region, and the strength and importance of their leadership has had a clear impact on the handling of the coronavirus pandemic. On top of the list, Democratic Kyrsten Sinema made history by becoming the first woman to hold one of Arizona's two seats in the United States Senate. And, of course, we now know we have two women senators from Arizona.
No, we don't, Alan. We have two Democratic senators.
We did have two.
And we have two Democratic senators.
The first of two, and then we replaced the other Democrat with a male, so I stand corrected. The mayor of Phoenix, the state's capital, is led by Kate Gallego. And in Tucson, Regina Romero was the first Latina woman elected city mayor. Recently, State Representative Raquel Turan, I'm pronouncing his name wrong, I'm sorry, was elected chair of the of her name wrong. I'm sorry, was elected chair of the Arizona Democratic Party in the neighboring Mexican state of Sonora. The governor position is held by Claudia Pavlovich. The list of talented and intelligent women in publicly elected positions in the region grows with each election year. Each has her own personal story of how she got to the position she now occupies, but some have endured a thorny path, while others, like the mayor of Tucson, have politics in their DNA. And so if you pull up that story on Tucson.com, you'll read each of their bios, and I think it's just very interesting that we have a lot of women leaders trying to help us get past the pandemic. Don't you agree, Rob?
Absolutely, Alan. It's about time.
So you have a story about Amazon and what they're doing to help some of our malls.
Well, Amazon, which has done as much as any company to bring about the demise of shopping malls in the U.S., has now come full circle by buying up struggling malls and turning them into distribution centers for its rapidly growing e-commerce empire. NBC News reported that over the last several months, Amazon has gone on a shopping spree with a number of new mall purchases. Last month, the Seattle-based retail giant won approval to convert a mall in Baton Rouge into a distribution center. The deal follows a December decision by the local planning board in Worcester, Mass. To let Amazon convert the city's Greendale Mall into a 121,000-square-foot distribution center. An analysis by CoreSite Research found that between 2016 and 2019, Amazon converted about 25 shopping malls into distribution facilities. That pace should quicken amid a bricks-and-mortar retail environment that has not only been hammered by the continued rise of online shopping, but been nearly decimated by the COVID-19 pandemic. This has left owners of shopping malls looking for ways to monetize assets that are falling at an alarming rate. The Wall Street Journal reported last summer that Simon Property Group, the nation's biggest mall owner, was in talks with Amazon to turn Simon's anchor department stores into Amazon distribution centers. Those talks reportedly focused on converting stores formerly or currently occupied by JCPenney and Sears Holdings, both of which have filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection.
You know, I don't think that that's going to happen in Tucson, Rob, because they've already picked a new location and they're already well on their way for a new facility in Tucson, I believe, or might have already opened. But in any case, our malls are in pretty good shape except for the Foothills Mall, and I think they've got plans for restructuring that into a multi-use property and so they're not in that bad a shape there. So I don't think that's going to happen in Tucson unless you know something different.
I don't. You know, it's happening in Phoenix, though. I know that Paradise Valley Mall is being raised for multi-purpose use. That was a mall that's 30, 35 years old. You might remember we used to go to Chompy's up there in Allen for a nice meal. That's no longer there either. It's moved to a new location. So it's happening all over, and it's probably a good thing for the mall owners because a lot of them were in pretty bad shape.
Yes. So we have another story here, and it is about a governor, I believe. And it's Governor Cox. He's governor of Utah, and he demands that Utahns,
I guess is the term.
Not be jerks with pandemic finish line in sight. Speaking at his weekly COVID-19 briefing, Governor Cox laid out the state's current success in battling the coronavirus, but I asked that residents of the state finish it out with class. Look, I know it's been a really difficult year, and I know these issues around the pandemic can and have been divisive, said Cox. Please act with respect to your fellow human beings. That is fantastic to hear from any governor, don't you think, Rob?
Yes, it is, Alan.
Cox, in particular, focused his condemnation on Utah residents who still refuse to wear a mask and act out when forced to wear one. Boy, we've met a few of those, Rob. If you can go into a business and they are requiring you to wear a mask, Cox said. Don't yell at the clerk. Don't yell at the store manager. Don't make a fool of yourself because you don't want to wear a mask. While the state is targeting a date of April 10th to drop its mask mandate, Cox reiterated that masks will still be required in many locations, including restaurants and stores. Businesses absolutely have a right to require masks, and if you don't like it, go shop somewhere else, Governor Cox said, promising his wife, Abby, that he wouldn't use his farm words. Cox would blunt his expectations of those who live and work in Utah. You don't need to be a jerk to people that you come in contact with, he said. Local restaurant owners were happy that Cox had their backs. Mimicking or repeating what the governor says, I hope the respect thing comes into play as more and more places do take off the mask, said Sean Miller, owner of Park Cafe. He wasn't, it's not the Sean Miller that we've heard about, Rob, but Sean Miller, who's the owner of Park Cafe. Miller isn't sure when his restaurant will remove its mandate, but will definitely keep it with staff for a while longer. There's going to be something that definitely touch and feel as we go, Miller said. With the mask right now, I think it does help customers feel more safe when they're being served by someone with a mask. Cox also had sharp words for those who choose to ridicule residents that stand on opposite sides of how to stay safe during the pandemic, especially those who vocally oppose the wearing of masks. There are some people that will want to wear a mask for much longer. Don't mock them. Don't make fun of them. They're likely protecting their lives and the lives of others. You know, we couldn't have said it any better, Rob.
Absolutely, Alan. You know, so it's nice to see somebody stepping up. And, you know, something we haven't talked about is President Biden's $2.3 trillion, Alan, trillion-dollar infrastructure plan. I don't know if you've read much about it, but some of the prominent business people in the country have some things to say about it. And they think it's ambitious. It includes funding for things like climate change and research initiatives. And an influential business lobbying group wants Biden to scale things way back. Josh Bolton, chief executive officer of Business Roundtable, which represents CEOs of the largest U.S. companies, said in an interview with Bloomberg TV on Thursday that the organization wants Biden to limit the scope of the package to mainly address roads and bridges and leave the rest of the stuff for somebody else. Bolton, who was former President George Bush's chief of staff for almost 3 years, did not clarify what he was referring to as something else. It's the real infrastructure that can attract bipartisan support, Bolton said, adding that more modern infrastructure also needs investment, citing broadband as an example. In this regard, Bolton is slightly more positive on Biden's plan than Republican leadership, which has argued that very little of Biden's plan fits the definition of infrastructure. In fact, Bolton said the Business Roundtable favors a substantial amount of what Biden has proposed. For his part, Biden has argued that infrastructure has always periodically undergone reinventions in step with technology. Biden's plan also includes a proposed corporate tax rate increase to 28%, and Bolton said the group, which includes the CEOs of Apple and Amazon, is strongly against that proposal. Former President Donald Trump's 2017 tax cut slashed the rate from 35% to 21%. It's a massive tax increase on U.S. business, which is really damaging not just to the shareholders of all those businesses, but to the employees and customers as well, said Bolton. The hike, he added, would make us once again the least competitive in the developed world. So the infrastructure plan has a lot of things going, Alan, a lot of fighting's going to go on with this one, but $2.3 trillion, they're throwing trillions around like they're pennies.
How much time do we have left, Rob?
Well, we're down about 30 seconds, Alan, so we're pretty well ready to wrap her up.
Catch us on the internet at b2btucson.com. That's b2btucson.com. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising at 629-9555. This has been Back to Business with Rob and Alan, KVOI, 10:30 a.m., The Voice, Saturday morning from 9 to 10. And this has been Alan McCloskey.
And I'm Rob Davidson. Have a great week, everyone. Thank you for listening. Take care and be well.